You're listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies brought to you with the support of the School of Business Management and Economics at the University of Sussex. This is episode 37, where we're discussing a somewhat unorthodox text in the field of management, Oeconomicus by Xenophon, which is a very ancient, very Socratic dialogue. To get the text and for more information, please go to our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com. My name is Dimitris, podcasting from Athens in Greece.
My name is Ralph, and I'm podcasting from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And I'm Tom, and I'm podcasting from Carlisle, Pennsylvania in the United States.
And I'm Peter Adamson, and I am podcasting from Munich in Germany.
Hi, Peter. Welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure. For our listeners who may not be familiar with your work, Peter is not only is he a professor of philosophy at the LMU in Munich, he is also the host of an incredible history of philosophy podcast, which is noteworthy for a few reasons aside from being, you know, amazing. It's the place where I kind of learned a lot of my early philosophy from, and it's also one of the inspirations for our podcast. So this is a big moment for us.
Yes, it's good to have one of our inspirations on.
Thanks very much.
So if you'd like to learn about philosophy without any gaps, go and check out Peter's podcast, History of Philosophy Without Any Gaps, and the spin-off History of Philosophy in India. And you can do that either on iTunes or by going to his website, which is historyofphilosophy.net, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Or actually, you can even just Google the phrase history of philosophy and it'll pop up.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's like either first or second behind Wikipedia.
And in the unlikely scenario that you don't like listening to podcasts, but you're somehow listening to this, Peter's podcast also comes out as a series of books by Oxford University Press that you can also get in places where you get books.
Good for any gift-giving occasion.
Right.
Absolutely. And the holidays are coming up, so keep it on your list.
All right. So the text today, Oeconomicus by Xenophon, we decided to kind of go a bit off the map with this. But I think it's going to be very interesting in that we're going to look at whether this dialogue can be reasonably used as maybe the first ever text on management. And we have Peter with us as an expert in ancient philosophy, and we're going to talk about it and see what is it, whether there's any value to it in respect to understanding organized labor, and see, you know, what we learned about management and organization studies since ancient Greece that still holds or doesn't anymore. Peter kindly agreed to give an introduction to the text, and then we're going to take it from there.
Okay, so this is an interesting text, although it's not one that most historians of philosophy are familiar with. And in fact, it belongs to a genre of work that, in general, is not much appreciated by historians of philosophy, or almost anybody, except maybe some classicists, so people who work on Greek culture. So this genre is what I would call works on household management. And in fact, maybe the first thing we should say about it is that the title is potentially misleading. It's called Oeconomicus in Greek. So you might translate it kind of overly literally as on economics. And that's not wrong, because our word economics does go back to the Greek word that's in the title here. But it's important to know that they don't mean by economics what we mean by economics. When we say economics, obviously we mean the study of finance, of money, business transactions. And although money and business transactions are going to come into this, when the Greeks talk about economics, what they mean is the study of the house. The word economics comes from the Greek word oikos, which means house or household. And in particular, what Xenophon and other authors from this genre have in mind is a kind of largish estate that would be owned by a rich man. We'll come back to the fact that it's a man. And the man has a wife, probably kids, at least that's the idea, and then a lot of servants and slaves. And in fact, slaves are going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting, both figuratively and literally, on the estate. So that's really what this dialogue is about. It's going to be a kind of exploration of how to run your household. And as I say, Xenophon's not the only person to have written about this in the ancient world. Aristotle, who's more famous, probably the greatest ancient philosopher along with Plato, in fact, maybe the greatest philosopher in history along with Plato, when he talks about what philosophers should discuss in our practical everyday lives, he distinguishes three kind of levels of practical inquiry. One is the individual, and that's ethics, when we study what the individual should do. The next level up is economics, when we study the house. And the next level above that is politics, which for him really means the running of a city or a city state. So again, the word politics comes from Greek. The Greek word polis means city. He actually did not write a work on economics, despite sort of identifying it as a potential object of study. He did write on ethics and politics. We do have texts later on that discuss running your household. We even have some works ascribed to Pythagorean philosophers, some of them by women, supposedly at least, which give advice about how to do things like raise children, how to treat your slaves. And then later in late antiquity, we have a work by a guy named Bryson, which is interesting to me because I work on philosophy in the Islamic world, and that text is preserved in Arabic. So that's how we know about it. So circling back to Xenophon, he's writing one of the first discussions of this sort of science of household management. So the first thing we might want to know is, who is Xenophon? And you already mentioned, Demetrius, that this is a work that has something to do with Socrates.
I think if I read somewhere that Xenophon sort of spent a couple of years as a student of Socrates or something to that effect.
Yeah, that's right. So just to kind of refresh people's memory about who Socrates is, he's this ugly guy who hangs around in the marketplace in Athens. He never leaves Athens except once in his life to go on military expedition. And he likes to talk to other Athenian gentlemen, especially young men who he can still form in terms of their character. And he is famous for asking them questions. So he'll ask questions about virtue and often will show them that they don't know what virtue is and kind of inspire them to keep inquiring into it, which is what he understands by philosophy. We have three main ancient authors who tell us about Socrates. The most famous one, of course, is Plato. Socrates is a main character in most of Plato's dialogues. And we also have Aristophanes, a comic poet, who makes fun of Socrates in one of his plays, which is called The Clouds. And then we have Xenophon. Xenophon's very interesting because he's sort of the other Plato. He's what Plato would have been if Plato had been a military man instead of a genius philosopher. So I don't think anyone thinks Xenophon is a genius philosopher, but historians of philosophy and classicists are interested in him for a couple of reasons. One is that he's this alternative source of information about Socrates. And to some extent, he confirms the impression we get in Plato. So he also always pictures Socrates in discussion with young men, talking about virtue, trying to get people to see that they don't know as much as they think they do. There are some differences. For example, Xenophon's Socrates places less stress on his own ignorance than Plato's Socrates does. Although in the Economicus, the text we're going to be talking about, Socrates does keep saying, oh, I actually don't know anything about this topic, so I can't really help you. But then he goes on to say helpful things anyway. So that's one reason why people are interested in Xenophon. The other thing that's interesting about Xenophon is his own life. So he died in 354 BC. Only 7 years after Plato died. So he's an almost exact contemporary of Plato. And he had a very eventful life. He was exiled from Athens, possibly because he supported the kind of aristocratic regime that was then replaced by Athenian democracy. And in addition to hanging around with Socrates as a young man, which is already pretty interesting, he then went on a military expedition to try to help overthrow the king of Persia and install a new king named Cyrus on the throne. Cyrus is actually mentioned in the Economicus as an example of a ruler who takes a healthy interest in agriculture, which, as we're going to see, is one of the main topics of the dialogue. And Xenophon actually wrote a big book about his military experiences. So he's known as both a major source for ancient history and a major source for the life and discussions of Socrates. I don't know, is there anything you guys want to ask about Xenophon or say about Xenophon, like your impressions of him as a thinker before we turn to this text in particular?
Well, having read Plato, Xenophon is a bit not as engaging to read. And I actually have the book that covers the retreat from Persia, the Anabasis, which is interesting, but the kind of need to be very keen on learning about that stuff. Other than that, he's, I mean, he's